T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
3 o'clock hour of the Wendy's Big Show, along with the franchise Tim Allen and Bill Babytail Schmidt. I'm Rami Makhlouf. Coming up this hour, we'll talk with our Milwaukee basketball insider Gary Wolfel. Bad news when it comes to one of the injured Bucks. We'll find out about that at 3:35. We'll hear from Aaron Rodgers at 3:48. And Rob Reichel, BobMcGinnFootball.com. He joins the show at 4:35. Hot stove is hot right now.
Well, it is.
Everywhere but Milwaukee. Are you disappointed in the Brewers' inactivity so far this offseason? 414-799-1250. You can tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. Based on your request now twice to have Baby Tausch read off the list of offseason transactions by the Brewers.
They're quick.
In the first hour of the show.
Yep.
And the list is nothing. I'm guessing that you're growing a little bit frustrated, Tim Allen.
Well, you got to measure whether the team is getting better or worse. And you can make the argument that they're getting better because, or you know, organically, the younger players are getting a little bit older and a little more mature. And Brinson, is he going to, you know, take a step? And you can make that argument. I get that. But in terms of personnel, the way it sits at this very second, I think they're getting a little bit worse. I'm not saying we should beg Jared Hughes to come back or Carlos Torres or anything like that, but seems to me that there's some affordable deals out there. I'm not going to spit numbers out there regarding relievers, because we all know the Ferris wheel of relievers.
Open wheel of doom.
Yeah, I mean, they can go from a bad situation, bad numbers, into, wow, a new team, and all of a sudden he finds it for a year or two. Jeremy Jeffress, when he came back, he pitched rather well for the Brewers, but was not good in Texas. A guy like Brandon Kinsler, who re-signed with the Nationals for a couple of years at $10 million. I think we can afford $5 million for a reliever, right? Fernando Rodney. I could go on and on with these relievers. It just is surprising to me that they've done nothing. Through all those conversations, through everything they talked about, and that I guess technically the winter meetings are still going on today. Is that right?
The Rule 5 draft was today.
Yeah. Wrapping
so
up
that's,
today.
That's the conclusion of it.
So, I mean, maybe something will go down. And certainly there are things on the horizon that there's going to be a move or two. But, gosh, you know, they came out a month ago and weeks ago and said that we're looking for out-getters. And we're going to get it, you know, we got to focus on starting pitching. And Jimmy Nelson is going to be lost for 2 or 3 months of the season next year. And it's just sort of disappointing to me that, you know, you've done nothing.
Last year worked out pretty well, right, Tim? Last year, would you say, was a step in the right direction for the Milwaukee Brewers?
I'll meet you there.
And a positive season for them? I know what your ultimate goal is, but
right. Yeah.
In terms of making progress as a franchise and getting to the point where you're consistently competitive, last year was a step in the right direction,
right? They accomplished the goal of competing while rebuilding.
Yes. Now, I'll admit, I was where you are with the Milwaukee Brewers. I was sitting back watching all this activity happening and waiting for the Brewers to be involved in something, be it a trade, a free agent transaction, whatever the case may be. So then I found myself being frustrated and went, okay, well, let's take a step back here. And let's look back at last offseason to get an idea for how David Stearns works. Because he's still relatively new to Brewers fans, right?
Yeah.
Last year, he did make the big trade on December 6th, where he sent Tyler Thornburg to Boston. He got Dubon, Pennington, of course, Travis Shaw, and then later on, he got Yeison Koka as the player to be named later. After that, though, there weren't really any major moves for the Brewers until later in the offseason. They signed on December 8th. They signed Tim Dillard, Ryan Webb. Miguel Diaz was drafted in the Rule 5 draft. Caleb Smith drafted in the Rule 5 draft. They signed Ivan DeJesus on December 12th.
Yep.
December 13th, they traded Drew Gagnon and Martin Maldonado for Jet Bandy.
Yep.
December 14th, which was exactly 1 year ago today, they had signed Tommy Malone. So up until this point last year, they hadn't really done anything, Tim.
No.
And I think that David Stearns is just he's a guy who's going to be patient. He's not going to make a move just for the sake of making a move, just to say, all right, we added an arm. He's going to make sure that it's if it's a free agent, that it's a guy who's going to be worth the deal. He's going to play up to his contract. And if it's a trade, I think there he's even more careful.
I wonder what he says.
What do you mean, what he says?
I wonder what he says to himself, looking in the mirror.
Self?
One game. One game kept you out of the playoffs. One game. I wonder what he says internally. He'll never admit it to us, and for the most part, I think he's doing a nice job. Because, again, he was very impressive in competing while rebuilding, and I like that a lot. But one game was the difference. And now, and again, maybe he's got the confidence in those players that he had, the foundational players that did win him 86 games, you know, barring the Swarzak situation. Maybe sitting back and saying, yeah, I already have that. I'm going to wait until the right deal comes along to not only pick up that game, but pick up three more. You lost Jimmy Nelson, as I said. That's going to be tough to replace, guys.
Yes, it is.
Especially what he did early in the season this year.
This past season.
This past season.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, he put a save Jimmy Nelson season day. Well, I remember that, and he went on an absolute tear.
And he mentioned it a couple times, Tim, without the game in Pittsburgh where he started and went perfect for the first three innings and it was a rainout.
Rained out.
He may have been an all-star if that game finishes out. You don't know exactly what that does to his numbers.
No.
And the overall perception of him nationally. But he was as close to an all-star starter as this team's had in a couple of years.
Now, here's what we're going to hear, Rami. I know what we're going to hear, and I'm fine to debate it and have in the past. You made the P word mention.
The P word?
Patience. And
I think that's a good trait for a GM. I don't want a guy who's reactionary and who acts on impulses. That's not a good way to operate as
like
a general manager.
Like a Brian Cashman when you lose in the seventh game of the ALCS and you go and get the MVP of the National League.
Well, that's when you're that close. That's when you go out and make those types of moves. That's not as impulsive.
But that was
as
an over the head team or over the head season by that Yankee team. They weren't expected to be where they were.
Not at all.
Not even close.
But they are. But now he sees that, okay, this is where we are. And we might be one or two pieces away from bringing the trophy back home to New York,
well,
is how Brian Cashman looks at it.
Okay, well, then this organization, at a little bit lower scale, is one piece or two pieces away from taking a huge step into the playoffs. So without jilting the rebuild at the same time. A Fernando Rodney was going to spin us out of control on the rebuild. Re-signing Anthony Swarzak, $7 million per year for 2 years. That was going to send us sideways. That was going to kick the Grandmaster Rebuilder all out of whack. I don't think so. I think you assume these players are going to do what they did last year. And here's what I'm hearing and reading about a lot about Brewers baseball right now. We need to see if these other players are going to repeat what they did last year.
Why are you doing your Joe Zanzola impression?
I didn't do a Joe Zanzola.
You did your
I'm just
Zanzola
telling you what I'm hearing and reading. So, okay, based on that logic, what if they do repeat what they did last year? And then all of a sudden you let the bus leave without you on it, and you come up another game or two short. Because you were pretending or you were going to assume that, well, they can't repeat that. They should continue the rebuild, and I'm for that as long as it sustains success. Because you talk about sustaining success. Let's take a look at the Kansas City Royals.
Mm-hmm.
Look what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Tore it all down.
Yes.
Got a couple of World Series appearances, one victory.
And now they're tearing it all down
again. And they're going to tear it all down again.
Yes.
It's not about the rebuild. This is not about rebuilding. This is about sustaining the success. A rebuild should only happen one time, right? Because that's what David Stearns is talking about, sustaining success.
Right. Now I see what you're
saying.
So
you have to continue the cycle if you're going to sustain success. And that being said, they had, to their degree, to some measure.
I think if you're looking at it realistically.
Oh, there's that word again.
Yes.
That R word is the one that hates me.
Sorry.
I forgot.
That's the one I hate. For being realistic.
The P word and the R word.
Yep.
I think if you're looking at it realistically in a market like Milwaukee or a market like Kansas City, success is only going to be sustained for so long, and then your best course of action is to rebuild again,
which is
why we see Kansas City
doing
what they're
doing. So we're
going
to have to go through this in another 7 years.
Yeah, hopefully you'll have a World Series trophy like Kansas City does before all is said and done, or two like Kansas City has done. Before.
No guarantees. I'm going to guess that most Brewers fans, I don't want to speak for them, but most Brewer fans are going to be okay with no moves at the winter meetings. I'm going to guess they're okay with it.
Are you okay with it? Are you disappointed in the Brewers' inactivity so far?
Anything done over the next 48 hours or so.
That's Brewers GM David Stearns over the theme song for The Rock on a Throwback Thursday presented by Masters. He's with wrestling themes bringing us out of the break. We're asking you right now, are you disappointed in the Brewers' inactivity so far this offseason?
I'm going to say that most Brewer fans are okay with it.
414-799-1250. You can tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan and get your request in for a Throwback Thursday presented by Masters Ease. Not taking votes. It's going to be a karaoke Christmas, but what Christmas song specifically would you like to hear Gary sing? Send that at 105.7 FM The Fan with the hashtag Big Throwback, and you'll be entered to win a $25 gift certificate to Masters Ease. And this week and for the next 4 weeks, we'll be giving away a pair of tickets to Northern Invasion 2018, May 12th and the 13th, out at Somerset Amphitheater with bands such as Tool, Avenged, Sevenfold, The Perfect Circle, Alice in Chains, Breaking Benjamin, Stone Temple Pilots, and much, much more. So get your request in at 105.7 FM The Fan with the hashtag Big Throwback, and you'll be entered to win that prize pack. You think most Brewers fans are okay with it, Tim?
Yeah, I do. And again, I'm not, but I still know that there's some time and maybe there's some irons in the fire, as you just heard GM David Stearns talk about, that maybe something will transpire here in the next day or two. But it just seems amazing to me that, they couldn't get a reliever at least. I mean, I see them getting a reliever. They're the ones that, talked the last couple of 2-3 weeks about getting a starting pitcher to get some outs. We got to, get some outs.
Got to get out-getters.
Yeah, and, Jimmy Nelson being lost, so then that leaves an opening, or do you go with Brent Suter?
What relievers have gone off the market that
Corbin Burns, there were
Swarzak's
in the rotation.
Gone.
Swarzak?
Would you pay to keep Swarzak? Because they apparently did make an offer to keep Swarzak, and he ended up getting 2 years, $14 million from the Mets.
And he seemed genuine that he wanted to stay here.
That's too rich for my blood. For a 31-year-old reliever who just found it for one season.
What about Brandon Kinsler bringing him back?
Those guys tend to regress back to the mean.
Kinsler bringing him back?
Okay, he's still relatively young. I could see him still, being a guy who just figured it out.
All-star,
yeah, absolutely. I can see him being a guy who just figured it out and is coming into his own.
That was 2 years for $10 million, five a year. I mean, there's a guy that I would have taken.
David Stearns did say that they had offers out there specifically for relievers, and guys chose to go elsewhere.
Fernando Rodney, there's Jake McGee, there's Shaw, there was
C-Shack,
players out there. C-Shack, the guy that went to
the Cubs today.
Yeah, your team.
Who's the other reliever the Cubs signed? Didn't they sign another reliever?
They brought in Brandon Morrow.
Yeah.
And then Tyler Chatwood, who I'm not too thrilled about. But.
Yeah, and that's a guy that the Brewers were in that neck of the woods.
They're
in terms
loading
of pay.
Up on arms down there, man.
They are. And I'm not saying they're the best arms in the world, but I think what the Cubs decided to do was just get out early and swing.
There is nothing riskier in terms of acquiring free agents. There's nothing riskier in Major League Baseball than signing relievers. And the margin for error for the Cubs in terms of signing relievers is much greater than it is for the Milwaukee Brewers. If you designate resources or money to a bullpen this offseason, and those guys, as we often see with relievers, not just here in Milwaukee, but around Major League Baseball, they tend to come and go. They tend to
you do.
They have peaks and valleys.
They do, and a lot of teams rebuild their bullpen on a year and a half basis anyway.
Exactly. I understand your frustration, and I'm sort of there with you. I'm torn when we ask this question. Are you disappointed in the Brewers' inactivity so far this offseason? I'm torn on my answer to this question because I'm right there with you. I think this team is ready to take a step, and you need to add pieces for it to take a step. But at the same time, I already have a great trust in David Stearns and the way that he operates. And like I said before, I think patience is a virtue that is very valuable for GMs.
Yeah,
very valuable for a GM.
Well, it is. And you know, the knee jerks, I think, can get you in trouble a little bit. But nonetheless, you have this team that came up just a little bit short. And the game itself has changed, guys. It's changed to a bullpen game. It really has.
Yeah.
Now, if you can get...
Especially in the playoffs.
Big time. Big time. Now, you're okay way in the back end of the bullpen, and that's Corey Knebel. Do you think he's going to repeat?
I think he'll come close.
Okay. Might be nice. He had an outstanding year. I mean, an amazing year. It would be nice to get an insurance plan on that. Swarzak would have been one, and Brandon Kinsler would have been another. That both could have closed in case all hell breaks loose with Knebel. Jeffress is still back there, and let's not forget about Hader. So they're okay way in the back there, but they still need guys like a Jacob Barnes, like some of these free agents we were just talking about, to make sure, just to solidify back there. Because, you know, I always harp the last few years, and Rami, you may remember this too, that I'm always saying, look at the one-run games. Look at the two-run games that the Brewers are losing.
Right.
It took somebody to kind of tap me on the shoulder and say, dude, a lot of baseball games are two-run games. You know what I mean? A lot of them. Just look across every night. Look at the scoreboard. And you say, well, it's 6-4. It's 3-1. There's a 4-2 right there. There's another 4-2. I get that. But that, in large part, is why the bullpen is so valuable and hitting late in games against these great bullpen arms, because it's shifting to a bullpen game in a manner of speaking. That's why you should get out there and get a couple of guys, get some insurance policies here.
Let's go to Scott on the south side. You're on the Wendy's Big Show. What's up, Scotty?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's happening?
Hey, listen, I've been a Brewers fan for the longest time. I'm in my late 40s. And if you look back on history, the only time we've ever made a serious run, made the playoffs, is when they went out and got number one pitchers. You know, I mean, I'm tired of looking at these Brewer teams with them trying to put 3 and 4 spot pitchers in the 1 and 2 spots and trying to act like they're legit building. You're not going to get it done like that. I mean, when are they actually going to spend that money and bring in a name we can build a franchise around?
That would be someone like a Chris Archer.
And that's still out there. Thanks for the call, Scott. And
it is.
That's what I'm saying, is that I think we need to practice a little patience the same way that David Stearns. I know that's not your M.O., but I think
that one game just screams at
me. But patience on the reliever market, look what that got you last year. That got you going and trying to find Neftali Felice 2 weeks before spring training, and that's the reason why Corey Knebel had to get thrust into the closer role.
Yeah, but I could find
you brought in a Neftali Felice because you didn't go and get somebody into the back end of the bullpen.
No, but I like that attempt, though. That attempt, I won't fault David Stearns for signing Neftali Felice at all.
But isn't there something to be said for striking while the iron's hot and the big names are out there still?
But, Bill, I'm sure I could find you a laundry list of teams that struck while the iron was hot, went out early, and spent a big money, relatively speaking,
and it crashed
for a reliever, and he took a nosedive for him. You know what I mean? Like I said, relievers are so risky, man. So risky.
But the guys that are going now seem to have found it lately.
Yeah.
The guys you're going to find 2 or 3 months down the road are the guys that are starting to regress.
You want a Matt Belisle? You were talking about. You a Matt Belisle, a Fernando Rodney, those types of names. You know, those guys, they cycle. They do. Maybe they have a down year with one organization.
Hey, K-Rod said he wants to pitch again.
Pick back up with another and have success.
Here's a tweet from our guy, Santa. Why would anyone question Stearns? He's been about as perfect as a GM can be. And Stearns, we trust.
Didn't go to the playoffs, so close.
Close.
This one's
done a nice job, but you're right. They came up a game short.
This one's from David. He says, I'm a little disappointed about the Brewers' lack of activity. Losing Anthony Swarzak to the Mets hurts the bullpen. What he signed for wasn't outrageous. Have to wait and see what happens. Offseason has barely started. Hopefully optimistic.
Under $60 million payroll. You came up a game short. How in the world you don't invest 10 or 20 million
because
to
you
take
don't,
the next step?
Because you don't invest 10 or 20 million for the sake of investing 10 or 20 million. You invest 10 or 20 million
To get the right guy?
Yes.
Okay.
With confidence that you spent it in the right place.
You can't tell me that there wasn't a reliever out there better than Oliver Drake. I mean...
There probably was, but that doesn't... If a guy's better than Oliver Drake, that doesn't make him worth the contract that he signed.
It makes the difference in one game. One game made the difference here. Are we going to pretend we're going to regress? Is that what we're doing?
There's always that possibility.
Are we going to pretend that...
No, it's just living in fear.
We're going to regress.
It's more just living in fear.
We need to wait and find out if this is for real. Okay.
Got to see if Domingo Santana can hit 30 home runs for three straight years.
Yeah. No, it sounds good to say, well, let's be patient and let's find out if these guys are going to repeat an 86-win team. It sounds great. It sounds like good sports talk radio. When you dig into that statement right there, what if they do? What if they do regress? Okay, then they do. But you know what? You got to look at the other side. What if they don't? And now you've sat back and you wanted to wait to see if this was real and it cost you another playoff season.
That's a possibility.
Don't wait.
That is a possibility.
I'm not saying break the bank. Don't get me wrong, Brewers fans. I'm not saying break the bank and go out and just you know, turn things on their ear and make a trade for Stanton. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is some nominal moves to get you 3 to 5 games better, I think with the money they have to play with, is definitely doable without, and here's the catch, without affecting your beloved rebuild.
And here's a tweet from Bo Diggity. He says, one good season equated to 214. We have minor leaguers who should get the look first. No need to overpay.
And I agree.
Don't overpay. That might be what David Stearns is thinking. That the guys that they need are in-house, and they're going to be called up from the minor league.
That's what I said when we started this. That
right.
Through organics, they could be thinking that, oh, we can pick up one game just organically by these guys having further development, being that much more mature.
We'll get back.
Pick up a game.
We'll get back to some Packers talk coming up at 4 o'clock. We're going to hear from Aaron Rodgers at 3:48, but some Bucks talk with our Milwaukee basketball insider Gary Wolfel coming up after a short break. And it's the Goldberg theme. On a throwback Thursday.
You could have given me $1 million. I couldn't tell you that.
Yeah, I was never a WCW guy, and especially didn't like Goldberg. He was just too over the top for me.
I thought it was Cactus Jack.
No, you think everyone is Cactus Jack.
I do.
It's wrestling themes.
Now you know what I go through for 6 months of the year. I tell him, I'm like,
Thursday.
Jimmy, Money in the Bank this weekend, big WWE pay-per-view. You coming
Cactus,
to watch it?
Cactus
Who's
Jack
wrestling?
There?
Who's wrestling? Cactus Jack against John Cena?
No. Let us know who you'd like to, well, not who you'd like to hear next week, but more what you'd like to hear next week. It's going to be Garyoki Christmas, because that's a big show tradition.
I said Frosty the Snowman.
We want your requests in terms of what Christmas songs you'd like to hear Gary sing. His musical stylings, his version of your favorite Christmas song.
Got some good ones coming in.
At 105.7 FM The Fan. We'll go through them a little bit later with the hashtag Big Throwback, and you're entered to win a $25 gift certificate to Master Z's and a pair of passes to Northern Invasion 2018 coming May 12th and 13th to Somerset Amphitheater. That's your Christmas request at 105.7 FM The Fan. With the hashtag Big Throwback. And speaking of Christmas, right now at Master Z's, great stocking stuffer, mini panoramics, perfect for cubicles, dorm rooms, etc. They have Packers, they have Badgers, they have Brewers, and for those of you who are like me in the Milwaukee area, they have Cubs and Bears panoramics.
What's a panoramic?
Available. It's like a wide angle shot of Miller Park or Lambeau Field or Camp Randall, etc.
Schneider Stadium out of Carroll University.
They don't have any of those. $21.99 each out at Master Z's.
Whitnall Field now.
Both their Waukesha and Glendale locations. No, they got none of those either.
This guy's on the inside. It's time to hear from Milwaukee basketball insider Gary Wolfel. Brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Marola. Only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Find his work inside the Racine Journal Times, RacineSportsZone.com, at WolfelsPressBox.com. And as our Milwaukee basketball insider right here on The Fan, he is Gary Wolfel. We just call him White Gary on this show, though. How are you this afternoon, White Gary?
I am doing well, thank you.
I understand we have an update on Mirza Teletovic and his injury.
Well, you and I talked about this briefly about an hour or two ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a report out of Bosnia that he has blood clots that they have resurfaced, and the extent of them is still a little unknown. Some people claim that they could be serious. Others are brushing it off. But I can tell you this, they were serious enough 2 years ago or 3 years ago when he played for Brooklyn, and he had to quit basically in the middle of the season because he had blood clots. And I think they were on his lungs, as I recall. And you have that. That's a serious situation. Yeah. I mean, you got to shut it down more often than not. Chris Bosh has had those issues, and the Miami Heat made it crystal clear they weren't going to take any chances with him playing again. And so hopefully they'll have this under control. I mean, medication has done the job for most of the last couple of years, so hopefully that'll continue to be the case.
Gary, up until now, what were we being told the Mirza Teletovic injury was? Because I haven't heard anything about blood clots until today.
Yeah, and it came out of all places, Bosnia.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, so the Bucks haven't put out any information at all regarding it. But, yeah, he allegedly had cartilage surgery on, I think it was his left knee, about 3 weeks ago. And I talked to him probably about 4 or 5 days ago, and he was adamant that it was his knee because a lot of times the Bucks give out fake news.
Sure,
I mean, that's
yeah.
Well documented. And he said that he expected to be back pretty soon. So Merce is a pretty upfront guy. He doesn't BS with you.
Yeah, it's nothing to fool around with, though. I mean, it's obviously far more than basketball when it comes to blood clotting.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I mean, it can be fatal. I mean, if you don't you know, be careful, I mean, you don't get the proper attention. So, but again, you know, until the Bucks say something official, you know, I hate to even speculate on that front.
Hey, Gary, the Bucks on a little bit of a roll last night was standing. You get into a track meet with New Orleans last night, but I got to ask you this. It seems like it's popping up again here. They have the defensive issues, and they address those out west, as it is well documented. But last 2.5 years now, how the hell does this team stop the three? How are they going to contend the three a little bit better? Because that seems to be an Achilles heel here, Gary.
Yeah, that's the $64,000 question. Last night after the game, Kid goes, we didn't defend the three very well, and you know, if I was a reporter at the game, I would have said, you haven't defended the three well since you've been here.
It's true.
You know, you would think that at some point they would, you know, have that figured out. I mean, it's not like they were facing Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant, and Steph Curry, where you had three guys to worry about, you know. It was the Pelicans, and they just did another poor job. I mean, I talked to an advanced scout maybe about a week or so ago, and I said to him, and I knew the answer. I said to him, where do you think the Bucks are most susceptible on their defense? And he goes, the corner three. I mean, which any Bucks fan knows, you know what I mean? So the league is obviously aware of that flaw as well.
But, Gary, even though, and we're talking with our Milwaukee basketball insider, Gary Wolfel, here on the Wendy's Big Show, even though they can't defend the three very well and haven't been able to for a long time, the defense has improved since Eric Bledsoe got here. And I was reading your piece at wolfelspressbox.com yesterday. That trio of Giannis, Bledsoe, and Middleton are scoring at a rate as well as anybody in this league is right now. Can't they just playing mediocre defense probably outscore most of the teams that they go up against on a given night?
Well, I'm glad you read the piece, number one.
Mm-hmm.
That was very nice of you.
My pleasure.
You know, I was surprised because when I did the research of the 30 teams, I figured, okay, with Bledsoe now on board, they might be around 10 or 11, you know, for the top three scorers. Well, in reality, they're number three, you know? And number one, of course, is Golden State with their big three. And then number two was New Orleans last night. But the Bucks are basically getting, what is it, whatever the number was, 69 points a game from three guys.
Right.
And that's really darn good.
And that's without Jabari.
And that's without Jabari, exactly. So, you know, if they can maintain this, you know, the other thing I thought was somewhat interesting about the article was that of those top nine teams, 8 of them would be in the playoffs today, okay? So
yeah.
There was a correlation between having a big three and being a playoff-caliber team.
Yeah.
Speaking of Jabari, the company line up until now has been February is what they're targeting, but by all indications and everything that I hear out of practice, he is way ahead of schedule. He's full speed. He's got explosiveness. He's playing 3-on-3s, 4s-on-4s, 5-on-5s. You name it, he's participating in it. Is there any indication, Gary, that they're going to speed up the timetable and bring him back before February?
Yeah, you know what? I really thought they'd bring him back in January and especially try to, you know, there's been a lot of speculation that they want to trade him. And I thought perhaps maybe they would like to showcase him at least for a couple weeks, you know, before the February trading deadline. But I have talked to several people in the organization, and they swear that they're not going to bring him back until February, that they're going to make sure he has had one calendar year of non-playing, you know, competitive basketball. So barring something unforeseen, he's coming back in February.
Gary, final thing, I guess.
Yeah.
Heading into last night's game, they're 15-10. They're on a little bit of a roll. What was it, fourth in the East, seventh
right.
best record in all of the NBA heading into last night. Now, again, 15-11, still pretty good.
Right.
In your heart of hearts, do you see them continuing this?
Well, I continue seeing them being above 500. Now, they play the Bulls Friday night, okay? And you would think, okay, they're going to, you know, blast the Bulls.
Didn't they just win 4 in a row, Bulls? No.
Yeah, and that's it. You yeah. beat me to the punch. And all of a sudden, the Bulls have become halfway respectable, you know?
Yep.
And they got some confidence. And then the Bucks have two tough games after that, including one against Cleveland. So all of a sudden, you know, I'm confident that they're not going to lose to the Bulls, but you never know. But losing to Cleveland is a real possibility. So, it's going to be interesting to see what happens, you know, over the next couple of weeks because – in late December to mid-January, they are going to have a brutal schedule. So they got to get their wins while they can.
Yeah, if you look at it, 15-10, Rami, heading into last night, again, they're 15-11 now. But
right.
just double that, go 30-20.
That's pretty good.
It's really good.
That's pretty good, 350. That'll get it done.
Yeah.
Gary, you mentioned the rumor mill concerning Jabari Parker. Anything churning in the rumor mill but from your sources lately?
No, there's definitely teams out there that are interested. You know, I talked to...
I just meant overall, not necessarily specifically about Jabari, but Jabari or anybody else. Because we had heard the DeAndre Jordan rumors a couple of weeks ago, and those have sort of died down.
Yeah, and they'll probably be, you know, on the back burner until February, until the trade deadline. I'm sure the Clippers is going to wait to see what the best possible deal
right.
is. But I spoke with an NBA official today. And he told me that he thought the odds were pretty good that the Phoenix Suns were going to buy out Tyson Chandler's contract.
That'd be a good fit.
And if that happens, I think there's a real possibility he could end up in Milwaukee because
nice.
He and Jason Kidd are pretty good friends.
That is our Milwaukee basketball insider, Gary Wolfel. Again, find his work inside the Racine Journal-Times, RacineSportsZone.com, Wolfel's Press Box, and on Twitter at Gary with an E. Wolfel, White Gary, always appreciate it. We'll talk again next week, my friend.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
White Gary joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Great Midwest Bank has been committed to personalized common sense lending since 1935. When you're in the market to buy, build, renovate, or refinance, visit greatmidwestbank.com to discover the benefits of simply local banking. And since we're talking Bucks, let me tell you, Bucks fans, they are your Bucks basketball pizza party headquarters. You get 50% off all regular menu price pizzas online the day after the Bucks scored 90 points or more. Just click papajohns.com, enter the promo code BUCKS90, that's BUCKS90, for 50% off all pizzas at papajohns.com the day after each and every time the Bucks score 90 points
hey,
or more.
Did you guys have a little bit of an article on a college student or something?
I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean?
You don't?
Oh, that thing? Oh, yeah. You want to? We're going to play Aaron Rodgers next. You want to talk about that next?
Well, no, I just didn't know if that was going to. I have no idea.
We'll find a place for it. I only know very minor details on the story. This is Baby Tausch's baby to handle.
Okay.
We'll get to it before we get out of here.
I like how you pinned that on me, Rami. Thanks.
Well, I don't. I don't want to get suspended. We'll get to that before we get out of here at 6 o'clock. But after this, we'll hear from the franchise, Aaron Rodgers. You're listening to the Wendy's Big Show on a Throwback Thursday presented by Masters East.
Want to win a...
Safely wash at any temperature at FSCW. Hales Corners, Brookfield, Wauwatosa, West Bend, Grafton. Full service.
Look at that.
You broke the rule again.
Cactus Jack's
no,
theme
it's not
song.
Cactus Jack's theme song. This is the Hardy Boys on a Throwback Thursday.
That was pretty close to 30 seconds,
by
Masters.
Hardy Boys.
It was 26.
Hardy Boys?
Next
the Hardy
week,
Boys,
next
Jeff
week,
and Matt.
We already know. It's a karaoke Christmas for Throwback Thursday because that's a Wendy's Big Show tradition. So we're not taking your votes so much as we're taking your requests.
Nancy
let us know,
Drew and the Hardy Boys.
Let us know what Christmas songs you'd like to hear Gary's rendition of. Tweet those at 105.7FM The Fan. With the hashtag Big Throwback, you'll be entered for a chance to win a $25 gift certificate, two Masters Ease, and a pair of passes to Northern Vasion 2018 going on May 12th and 13th out at the Somerset Amphitheater. That's your your Christmas request at 105.7FM, The Fan, with the hashtag Big Throwback.
Do you remember, speaking of Gary singing, do you remember when we were in Arizona last year, mm-hmm. what his theme song for the trip was? He just wake up in the morning and just beller this
it?
Out.
It
was a classic rock
yeah,
song.
Yeah, I know. I can't remember what it was, no.
It was Gary on My Wayward
Son.
Oh, yeah.
Which he knew none of the words to.
No.
Which he knew the rhythm, though, so yeah. It was close enough.
No, Gary will get the melody down and the rhythm.
He knew that line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
But after that, it was just a mess.
Yes.
But that's what makes karaoke, is that most of the time he's not going to know the words.
Sure thing.
Aaron Rodgers, he's back this week from the broken collarbone. He talked to the media for the first time since making that announcement via Instagram yesterday. Here is the Packers QB right here on the Wendy's Big Show.
Aaron, when did you know that this would be a possibility that you could return this? So when did you start to realize that?
Well, I mean, it was what we had targeted when I had the injury, was getting the strength back, getting the flexibility back, and hoping I'd be ready to go this week.
Is there any muscular atrophy, Aaron, or muscular endurance that you had to kind of work through? Is that present right now, do you believe?
No, it's not present right now. I wouldn't be out there. We worked through all that. The strength and the flexibility came back the quickest. It was just waiting on the bone to be ready to play.
Aaron, how much of the way you'll play or try to play Sunday will be similar to the Chicago game where you got the ball out quick early, didn't move out of the pocket a ton, and when you felt pressure, you kind of avoided it as easily as you could?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you have to play. Back in 2013, knowing what I can do and absorb, but, you know, it's not worth it unless you're going to go out there and play confidently.
How much convincing did you have to do yesterday, Monday?
Well, it was a group decision. I was out of town for part of yesterday, but we were, talking with some people who have been in the loop the entire time, and you know, there's a lot of people to thank for this opportunity to play this week. Obviously, my doctor, doctors Elitrosh and Itamura in California doing the surgery, did a great job. Heather with the rehab the first 10 days in L.A., which was really important, I think, to the overall healing. And then obviously the guys in here and our training staff, Nate Weir, Brian Engel, Doc McKenzie, working with those guys every day was really important. And then, you know, the support from the guys in the locker room as well through this period, and then Brett. You know, Brett played really well, especially the last 2 weeks, to give us the opportunity to be here and have a conversation, and I'm thankful to be able to play.
Aaron, what have the doctors explained to you, if anything, about the risk factors of coming back now from this injury?
Well, we've talked about everything, and I'm confident, knowing all the information, that's why I'm going to play.
How much has the bone healed?
Not going to get into that. I'm cleared.
Obviously, you usually have a fairly sizable voice in game plans and stuff like that. Is it different this week because of the whole timeline and everything getting, you know, pushed back some, or is it kind of the standard operating deal there for you?
No, it's the same. We've been talking about the plan all week. I actually got a jump on the film last week in the hopes that I would get a chance to be cleared this week. So I'd seen a lot already on Carolina, but no, we've had good conversations Monday and Tuesday, and you guys knew shortly after we made the decision that I was able to be cleared. Well, it's a long process. You know, it's tough tough mentally. You have to just kind of attack the rehab every day. That's why I thank these guys. You know, they allowed me to push the limits every single day on what we should be doing, and always allowed me to do as much as possible without putting any risk on it at the certain timetables we had. Throwing it, 4 weeks and moving around and doing the lifting on schedule like we did. Those guys were great. Mark Levine and his staff in the weight room were fantastic. You know, I worked out more in that time off than I do during the regular season. We work out 3 times during the regular season. And I was really working out every day with those guys and doing my treatment. So it's a long process, but I stayed pretty close to the team around the meetings and obviously engaged on the field on game days.
Do you think the sharpness is back just from practicing for the week and a day?
I mean, I don't know. I feel confident I'll be able to go out there and play the way I've always played, but I've been off for 7 games and been out for a while. So it's going to take getting out there, getting that first pass in, that first hit, and then I'll probably settle in.
Aaron, where were you?
This team's playing right now. What's it going to take to make it?
It's going to take winning all 3 of these games. 2 big wins in overtime to get us in this position. We obviously need a little bit of help along the way, but we got to take care of our business and win these next 3.
Is your availability over these final 3 games dependent on still being in the playoff picture?
I'm not sure. We're just focused on Carolina right now.
Aaron, where were you when you got the news you were cleared, and what was your emotion, your response?
I was here. I was talking with Doc and then talk to Mike and Alex, and it's exciting. Mike wanted me to put out a creative social media message, so I tried to appease him. But no, I mean, that was a good feeling. Obviously, there's a lot of misinformation out there yesterday. A lot of people hit me up, congrats on coming back. Hey, sorry you can't come back. So there was a lot of stuff out there that I'd heard about. Some was accurate, some was actually inaccurate, fake news, but it's nice to be able to be back and to be back in the swing and back with the first unit.
Aaron, what was it like to watch Brett develop over these last 2 months?
It's been fun to watch Brett, up close. He's definitely improved throughout the 7 games. You know, he's getting more comfortable out there and coming off a real nice performance against Cleveland. He's been making some plays down the stretch in these games where we have to come up with a drive in the fourth quarter to tie the game the last couple of weeks, and those were big drives for him, obviously big drives for our team, and then came up big in overtime.
Brett is obviously going to want another chance in his career to be a starting quarterback. What qualities have you seen, if any, to show that he's capable of being a starter in this league?
Well, like I just said, he's made some plays in the fourth quarter when they've mattered the most. He's done a nice job in most of the games of taking care of the football. That's important in this day and age of quarterback play. It's all about taking care of the football and not turn over. He's made some big throws and some big time checks as well. So it's just a matter of experience. You know, the more experience you get at quarterback, the more comfortable you are, and you can just go out and relax and play.
How much effect do you think your return has on this football team in general?
Well, you'd have to ask the guys. I'm just going to bring the energy and enthusiasm that I always do to practice. Obviously, I think there's an expectation of the way I play on Sunday and how I'm going to play. I enjoy those expectations. I enjoy meeting those or exceeding those. That's what it means to be a leader in this locker room and the quarterback of this team is going out and performing and doing your job. Hopefully, it gives a lift to some of the guys. But, I'm not coming back to save this team. I'm coming back to play quarterback the way I know how to play it, and hopefully we all raise the level of our play collectively and find a way to win these 3 games.
There's Aaron Rodgers speaking to the media yesterday upon returning from his broken collarbone.
Yes, you are coming back to save this team. Yes, you are. That's the reality of it.
In a sense, yes, but I know what he's saying. And he's saying what Mike McCarthy has been saying. And that's that Aaron Rodgers isn't Superman.
Thought it was interesting.
And everybody's going to have to be better.
Thought it was interesting. I wondered that, too, what kind of impact he had on the team. You saw him on the sidelines in that Cleveland game.
Yeah.
And just, you could see the competitive nature just dripping off that guy. And, he said, you're going to have to ask those guys what kind of impact it had.
They said whenever something bad happened against the Browns, Aaron Rodgers was
grimaced.
Absolutely dejected.
Yes.
Because he knew that whether or not he would return relied largely on whether or not the Packers won that game.
That dude is the man.
He is. He's yeah. probably the best we've ever seen.
In Green Bay?
No, the best we've ever seen play that position.
That would be Brady. But
no.
Rodgers, the jury's still out yet. He's got time.
He's probably the best we've ever seen, in my opinion. We'll hit a quick break on the other side. What does Aaron Rodgers do to your Super Bowl hopes, Packers fans?
414-799-1250.
We'll discuss next. You're listening to the Wendy's Big Show. Tim Allen in for Gary, Sparky, and Leroy. He's that good. Baby Tosh is here as well. He has the Sports Flash, and the Wendy's Big Show is right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.